Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Manly, 32, Para, 18. Bit of a weird one, this one, because it really just depends on where you see each team, you know, in regards to what you expect, expectations. Where Para were a week ago, you go, yeah, pretty good turnaround. They came in, they ripped and teared. Don't get me wrong, some really stupid decisions by players. But for the most part, Para came in, ripped and teared, and you know, they looked much better than most people. Then you look at the Manly side and you go, mate, great win. 30-18, bit scrappy, bit messy. Got the job done though. They go forward in the top eight. But if you're looking for Manly as a premiership threat, you go, this defence got to be sorted. Like it is their bane. It is honestly, it's a rock in their shoe. It will not go away. And so, as I said, it really just depends how you look on it. If you're looking at Manly as a top eight side, you go, great win. What a great start to the season. We can build off this. If you're looking at Manly to win a premiership, you're going, they are, in my opinion, they're definitely not there yet. They're definitely not there yet. So with that out of the way, let's talk about this as if Manly are a top eight side and also as if Para should be a top eight side. Or you can talk about however you want. That's just my thoughts. So, look, Manly, I think that the positive is that they continue to get wins. It's almost like the flip reverse of the Warriors where you go, the Warriors, the games that they should win, they don't. Manly, the games where it's in the balance and they could have easily dropped that game, they don't. And so you have to give them raps for that. That is that's a talent in itself, is to just find ways to win games even if you're not playing your best footy. From Para's perspective, they were just let down by some really silly decisions by some of their players in their 17. I felt like most of the Para players rocked up to have a red-hot crack. So although Para for me, I think even at the start of the year, I don't even know if I had them in the eight, but they've confirmed for me at the moment that they're not a top eight side. Now, when Mitch Moses comes back in, sure, we can have that conversation when he does come back in. But right now, their ability to handle the loss of Mitch Moses hasn't been the greatest. But they did show a reaction. And last week when we were talking about pressure being on Brad Arthur, I thought it was relatively fair. This week, if you were just to look at this performance, this wasn't Brad Arthur's fault. This was definitely the players making dumb decisions in key moments that cost them the game. What did you think about the game, Guru?
Yeah, there was not much more Brad Arthur could have done in that.
Yeah.
Without piling on that last 10 minutes, that decision that Sivo made, I can't make sense of it. It's
genuine this, brain explosion.
Genuine brain, like it's not in the same, you know, sort of class as what Tane did, but just dumb. So dumb. Like I watched him play New South Wales Cup the other day and watching him there, just sitting there on the sideline at Wentworth Park going, you are too fucking good for this. Mm. You are too good for this. And he comes out in this game, he scores three tries, does things that only Sivo can do. And then as soon as they give themselves an opportunity to win, he just throws it away.
Well, what I don't get with it as well is like, Sivo, that's not the kind of player you are.
Yeah.
I don't recall Sivo being a, niggle, forearms, all that kind of stuff. Now, maybe as a player, as a fan, you don't see it and he is like that, but I thought it was a very out of character. Like, Sivo has done some silly stuff, like made errors, blah, blah, blah. But that kind of error, I was like, that is not you, bro. Like, that's not who you are as a player.
And I love that Gutho went into the press conference and just flat out said, it's fucking dumb. Mm, didn't try and sugarcoat it. And I, man, if I was Gutho, I thought he tried his absolute heart out in this game.
He is on one leg, I reckon.
Oh, mate, without a doubt.
Like, he shouldn't be playing. Like, as in, if his club was in a better position, watching him run, he's limping.
I was talking to NRL physio last week about that injury, and he said last week, he goes, mate, it doesn't add up. That has to be worse than what there. And I don't understand exactly why, but he was convinced that that has to be worse than what Parra are telling us. He's just courageous though, isn't he? The way he just goes at the game.
Yep. And whether their club is going great or their club is going poor, Gutho is ripping in. He is ripping in. What do you think, Timmy?
Yeah. What bugs me a bit about the Eels is just, again, I know this wasn't a terrific performance, but like Manly at Brookie, Manly played some good footy, 32-18. All right, it's not a bad result, as you said, Kempy. I just feel like they've got the ability to flick a switch and play good when they want to. And then, like, if they have a good win, and we saw it a couple of weeks ago, they got pumped by the Raiders, and they go, all right, that was embarrassing, we need to turn up next week. And then they beat the Cowboys, who were playing some good footy this year. They can turn it on and off and on and off. I feel like it's just all attitude with them. Like, there is them, not even the makings of a good footy team. I think they are a good footy team, but I just don't, when they don't want to turn up, they don't turn up. It's like, you talk about sides who need to show consistency and all that. Like, they'll probably come out this week, get flogged, and then the week after they'll come out and kill it. Mm. What is looking more and more evident, it's just another notch in the book of Mitchie Moses, who... Mm. They've just looked worlds apart from what they were even at the start of the season, where they had some impressive wins. Moses has been, we knew it was going to be a big loss. He's been a remarkable loss. And the impact it's had on Dylan Brown, who's been okay at best since he's been out, cannot get him back quick enough.
Some positives for the Eels. I thought Sanders, I know he had those misses on Olakau'atu. Like, I mean, who doesn't have a missed tackle? I mean, I don't even play anymore. I've got a couple of missed tackles on him. I thought Sanders looked the business.
The Colonel.
There you go, the Colonel. Yeah. Like that one.
Finger licking good half.
Oh yeah. That's going to the Raiders.
Yeah.
Jeez, doesn't that hurt as an Eels fan? Doesn't look good for the Raiders, though.
He looks exactly what he needs as well, doesn't he? Like, how direct he plays, how deep in the line he goes as a young fella. So excited. In saying that, there's a few days left in the window since he informed them that he was going to leave. They've got 10 days to change his mind. So we're not there yet.
Okay.
We've seen some big bat flips in the past, so.
Like Teddy? Remember that one?
Teddy did come to mind, yeah.
Imagine the different landscape of rugby league if Teddy landed down at the Raiders.
There was a few, wasn't there, that went down to, I think McInnes was one of them too, Mansour, when he was at his best. We've had a few.
Didn't you nearly get Cam Smith as well when he was going to leave?
Real early, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, real early in
real
his career.
Early days, yeah. And had he signed or something?
No, no. So
you're his best mate. What's the go?
Basically, what happened was he had a senior hooker at the Storm that was like, you know, the pecking order of seniority.
Richard Swain, I think it was.
There you go. The Roo at his best, doing his best work. And I think Smitty said to him, mate, you're the senior, so I'll wait for you to see what you want to do, and then I'll make my decision of what I want to do. And I think what happened is he ended up leaving. So Smithy said, okay, I'll stay.
Yeah,
that's what happened. But he was very close to going to the Raiders. Like another, like, could you imagine?
Moving on to the standout players from this game.
Oh, man. Imagine him down at the Raiders with that gritty kind of... You could have seen another dynasty like you saw, what, late 80s, early 90s? Was it late 80s, early 90s?
Imagine the Cameron Smith-Sam Williams combo.
Oh.
10 years.
Stop it.
Oh.
Are we done?
Hey, mate, Broncos friggin', he wanted to play for the Broncos and he got brushed by him. So I'm the same camp as you.
I thought the Colonel was really good though. As you said, Olakau'atu, you know, you could be a 10-year half that's a very good defensive half that could miss 10 tackles on him. And you know what? If you're Olakau'atu and you have an opportunity to go at a young halfback like that, so you should.
And look, to be fair, early shift from DC in the first set, straight on Sanders.
Yeah.
Like, that is a veteran at work. DC are going, oh, you're a debutant?
Welcome.
Welcome to first grade. Oh, by the way, that first tackle you just made that was honestly tackling for your life, you're going to have to do 80 minutes of it.
I couldn't believe that I'd say, obviously, when Arcee was dropped, or maybe even, they've had so many different halves to Lungi, Arcee in the last few weeks, Arcee, I thought they would have moved Dill Brown back to the left to defend Oluquatu, like to show faith from Brad Arthur. You went, no, we'll put the debutant on Oluquatu. Was that the right decision? I don't know, but it says so much about him, doesn't it?
Yeah, and look, as I said, he missed those tackles, but guess how many tackles he made in his debut? And it's not Cleary areas, but...
25 odd?
32.
Oh, wow.
32 on debut. That is just like, that is a masterclass from DCE. Like, there's a lot of halves in the competition right now that would know there's a debutant on the other side, but they just wouldn't involve it in their game plan. DCE, so I got it down here in my notes here. First set goes at Sanders. Second set goes at Sanders. And then I think there was, by halftime, Sanders had made 20 tackles.
Yeah.
By halftime. And so, like, that is just masterful from DCE. But we'll stick to the Eels and then we'll get to Manly. So, look, exciting thing for the Raiders, if they can land a guy like him, because, yes, it is going to take time for him to develop, but the makings are there. The structure, the skeleton of a good seven is there in Sanders.
Just on that as well, I really do hope he goes to Canberra because, I mean, the reality is, you know, Parramatta have swapped their halves their last 3 weeks. He was the third choice guy they went for. Canberra have wanted him for a year now. And willing to back him in.
And that's what, you know, we spoke about it. Look, if they weren't selecting him because he's going to Canberra, I don't agree with that kind of coaching, but it is what it is, like whatever. But that's what I don't get with the Brad Arthur decision. You decided to put Blaise Talanga, who's not a half, he's a fullback or centre, probably mainly a fullback. You decided to put
Arcee.
You decided to move Brown to seven before you would put his New South Wales seven, wasn't he?
Yep.
The under 19 New South Wales seven in the first grade. Like, granted, yes, is he ready, is he not ready? You know, maybe, maybe not, but like, you don't even have a New South Wales Cup standard seven in your squad. And so you're willing to do all that before giving Sanders an opportunity. Like, I understand that he wasn't up to NRL standard, but at least he's an actual seven.
Well, if I could just borrow your tinfoil hat for a second there, Kempy. the week that he informs them that he's going to the Raiders and there's this 10-day window, he gets his debut. Anything in that?
Oh, mate, that stuff happens all the time. When clubs, you know, I think the Broncos did it incorrectly. They probably got more integrity than me, clearly. But remember when Reece Walsh left because he felt he was a first grader? And I said the Broncos handled that silly because we had Jermaine Asako at fullback there. I said, that's poor roster management. You should have said, yeah, kid, get your debut, re-sign, boom, straight back in Q Cup if he isn't killing it. They didn't do that. They just said, nah, all right, see you later. And we nearly lost, like, arguably the best fullback of his generation that is coming. Like, and that's smart. Like, Wayne would do it all the time where there's a guy that's maybe on, you know, re-signing or whatever, put him in first grade, keep him happy, get that signature, make sure it dries. And if he's not playing that well, mate, back down to Queensland Cup. So, yeah, look, where Brad Arthur has done really good things for player development. And, look, maybe he was just focusing on Sanders' development as a player, but I think they're desperate for a genuine seven. I think you saw that on the weekend. Like, it was probably a better game from them. With Brown, I still don't understand putting Brown at seven and him at six. Like, so you're going to move a genuine seven to six and a genuine six to seven because he's young? It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, doesn't make sense to me either. But I thought he did a really good job. Sanders, I think he played direct. You know, he obviously defensively got tested big time, which would have been fucking brutal. But he ticked every box for me.
Who else? Ryan Madison, I thought, had a really good game on the edge there. I've always been surprised at their reluctance. I understand the impact he brings off the bench, his ability to cover positions and all that. Always been surprised at the reluctance to put him on an edge. I think he's definitely got the agility to be on an edge. He's massive. And we saw some of his defense, like absolutely leveling halves. On the weekend, he 80 minutes, obviously, 12 runs, 97 meters, 43 post contact. So 97 meters and 43 post contacts, actually quite a good ratio. It's essentially half. 41 tackles, zero misses on the edge.
Well, one thing for me, Ken, with Eels, and I know, like, we look at history and go back in the past a little bit and you go, all right, there's new faces, players of age, they've changed their games. But you go to 2022 and they had Sean Lane and Isaiah Papali'i on the edges, and that their whole game plan was just like, pound through the middle, pound through the middle, you know, play short to these hard-running back rowers, and then you just had Mitchie Moses and Dill Brown and Gutho around as well, just with their push support, and their whole game would go off the back of that. It was high percentage. The attacking opportunities had come because they were great offloaders for the ball as well, and when you run that hard and run great lines, the opportunities arise, the quick play of the balls arise, but they don't have those back rows bending the line at the moment. Like, even Cardi last year started to do it. I don't think he's been running those hard lines this year. Obviously, didn't play on the weekend, hence why Matto was there. Sean Lane, I think, has been a shadow of himself for 2 years ago.
He was really poor on the weekend.
He's not hitting lines. He's not bending the line like we saw. You know, last year was interrupted. Happy to forgive that, but I think they need more out of him. But they really need to get their back rowers going because it's been such a focal part of their game and an important part of the game in recent years.
Well, Mitchell Moses is known as one of the best short side players in the competition, and you don't usually get short side plays unless your back rower has laid that line. You know, a centre is too wide. The three in or the half is usually not running the ball. And if they have run the ball, that means the half has to swing all the way around. So I agree with you, mate. Their edge back rowers, that was their biggest weapon in their grand final year. You know, Lane was talked about in Origin. Papali'i was the signing of the season. Cardi had a really good game. Was it round one or two?
I think it was both. Yeah,
he had a couple of good games.
Started really well.
The only thing I think that Madison may bring that he doesn't is the physicality of that really good unders line, really really strong in defence, dominating the contact. I would consider leaving Madison at starting edge back rower and bringing Cartwright off the bench because there's your utility covered as well. Because I think Madison has a lot to offer, and I'll be playing it. The more minutes I could play Madison, the better in my opinion.
You've always been a big Matto edge guy, haven't you?
I've always liked Matto on the edge, yes.
Yeah, I like him too. I really do like him on the edge.
Especially because I just think I need more minutes out of him. There's been different times where he's played 30, 40 minutes off the bench. I think he's better than that. And I think you need to be looking to get 60 to 65 minutes per game into him.
Mm. So, decent-ish bounce back, but just silly, silly moments cost him. Now back to Manly. Just another good win. You know, they continue just notching them up. And look, if you want to be around, you know, the pointy end of the season, you know, Melbourne Storm always talk about it. It's about banking up those wins early on in the year so that if you do struggle during Origin, so, for example, DCE will be playing for Queensland, you can weather that period and have, you know, let's say there's a four-week block, although we'll go longer, six-week, and you go 3 from 6, not that big of a deal because you've banked up the points in the start of the season. And so from a bird's eye view, it's just great they're getting these wins. And you could look at it two ways. You could say it's a very big concern that defence is their issue because defence is all about attitude. Or you could look at it from the other way of it is extremely clear what they need to fix. Just go and fix it. And maybe by the end of the year, it is fixed. But good win from the Seagulls. Garrick, still questions about his defence at centre, but I thought he was outstanding in attack.
Yeah, in attack he was great. Obviously, outside Olakau'atu and DCE, it's some really good real estate out there, but I thought he was unreal. We sort of spoke about it on the weekend, but you know, a lot of people talk to me about Manly like they're a top four side, and I'm convinced they're not a bottom eight side, but I don't quite know where to place them yet in my top eight.
Yeah, I've got them top eight. Mm. Definitely not top four at the moment for me. But they are one of the few teams that I could see making that jump into the top four.
Yeah. Question for you boys. You know, we sit there and we know premierships are built on the back of good defensive units. At what point do you, or like historically, when's been the last team that defensively had a poor record, but attack was so good that they just went, you know what, we will outpoint you. We're better in attack. If you score 24, we'll score 30. That mentality, because Manly, can they be a premiership threat with a 6 out of 10 defence if their attack is 8 to 10?
I don't think so, because I think there's better attacking. So, like, for example, often overlooked, but the Broncos, they got one of the best defences in the comp, which allows them to be such an attacking weapon. And I just think with Manly, when you get to that pointy end of the season, like look at Penrith, for example. They were woeful in a lot of the game against the Cowboys in attack. But their defence is so hectic that they stayed in the game.
I'd like, and one of the listeners out there will be able to help us out quite easily, but I'd like to know the last premiership winning team that had a bottom eight defensive record.
Or even what's the worst defensive record that's won a premiership.
Yeah.
That would be really interesting.
And particularly in the NRL era, I think, because the game's changed so much. So since 98, worst defensive
record. And I'm willing to have my mind change. If there is evidence of like, no, actually there's this year, they had, you know, eighth best defence. Like, okay, maybe Manly can win it.
I think certainly in the last 15 years, there's going to be bugger all examples of it. Maybe earlier than that, I don't know. Root, what do you
think? Yeah, I would guess that the worst defensive side to win a comp in the last 15 years would have been the 15 Cowboys, who had about the sixth or seventh best defence out of the competition. Because I know for the last 10 years, I don't think anyone's won it from outside the top three defensive sides.
Well, you look at, I mean, last year, best defensive side and the second best defensive side were in the grand final. So, yeah, look, it's definitely possible, but when you have the squad to sort the defence out, surely you just go, boys, like, yeah, it's great we can attack, but let's sort this defence out, and we're almost guaranteeing ourselves a top four percentage. Because I do believe if they sort their defence out, I do believe they're a top four side. But it's a huge if. I have huge ifs around the fact that whether they will sort that out or not.
Just a quick scan through, it is almost definitely the 15 Cowboys.
I got one. The 05 Tigers.
Yeah, I was just looking at that too.
Yeah, so they had the second worst defence in the top eight. But then from the bottom eight, there was one, two, three teams who had better. So they would have been off about 11th or 12th best defence in
there. And so that was pre-wrestle though?
Yeah, that was a lot. That was a different game. Like
different game, essentially.
That we changed also, the game.
Yeah, they started playing rugby league halfway through the season too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's a bit of an outlier.
So you've essentially got, in the last 10 years, the last decade, the worst is sixth or seventh best defence to win the game. And, you know, you look at that grand final, like, probably should have been one for the Broncos. It was just incredible from Michael Morgan, Kyle Felton, obviously Thurston, to win that game. Now, in regards to good players, what do you boys think of who stood out for you for Manly?
Mate, interesting that, you know, like I always think, okay, if Manly's absolutely flying and they're winning games, Turbo must be killing it. Like, it's sort of, they've just got other spots to attack from this year, which I think is a positive. Like, they're not so reliant on Turbo. You've obviously got DCE out on that edge with your Alakuatus, your Ruben Garrix, these sort of guys. So I think that's a huge positive to take.
You think Brooks has changed that a bit too?
I think so as well. I was leading to say, I am really keen to see during Origin, when this is Brooksy's side, how they go.
Oh, that's a great, that's a great thought. Like, will he wear that away. Seven jersey, or will it be Arthur? Will he probably come in, you assume, with him in the
house? Give the keys to Brooksy. I reckon he's ready.
Yeah.
Well,
it probably will be Arthur to come in, to be fair. Yeah.
This week, Arthur, would they give Jamie Humphries a crack?
Ooh, don't mind that.
I think Arthur, I could be wrong, but hasn't he been, I think he was in the extended squad last week. I don't think Humphries was.
Oh, okay.
I could be wrong, but I reckon they'll go with Arthur.
Okay. So, look, great win for Manly. As a Manly fan, like, this is absolutely a successful start of the year. Like, got to be pretty happy with the start of the year. Sitting, fourth at the moment, I think? Anything else that stand out for you boys?
Pack, pretty good. I don't know, rounding out pretty nicely. I like Nathan Brown. I was at this game on Friday. Being there when he's literally running off the back fence,
literally.
It literally, the stadium just about explodes. It's unbelievable. Just no regard for his personal safety. He's on fire at the moment. A real kind of like X factor to add to him as well.
And he actually, he came to the club and didn't even have a top 30 contract. They do an army camp where they don't let him sleep for 48 hours. They make him walk like, I don't know, 60 to 80 Ks or whatever, or all these exercises in between. Out of all these young guns, so you got guys that should be just chomping at the bit to get noticed by the coaches. Young, when you're young, obviously you don't, you know, your injuries, you don't get injured as quickly. You recover much quicker when you're younger. Nathan Brown, who probably could have said to the Manly Seagulls, like, boys, like, you know, I've played 150 games or whatever it is. I'm an Origin player. Should I be doing this? Like, for example, Brooks didn't do it. Now I don't know whether he had an injury or whatever. But Brown decides to go on the camp and wins MVP. And that is how you know – I mean, that is a reflection of how he's playing at the moment. It's just crazy mental toughness. And that's why he's having one of the better seasons he's had in a very long time.
One thing I was thinking about over the weekend that I just thought was funny, you know, we spent the entire preseason, who's going to be Manly's 14? Is it going to be Chan Kum Tong? Is it going to be Humphries? And fucking here we are. We're almost at round 10, Carl Lawton's gone. Nah, I've got it.
Yeah.
I'm slate.
And he's just been so unlucky with injuries, Carl Lawton.
Yeah.
But offers quite a bit.
Hey, we're talking about Luke Brooks here. Just shout out to him. I can't remember who it was that cut him in half, but Madison. That was... Oh.
And then he picked up Madison and drove him back.
Yeah, but that was one of the, like, that was one of the hits of the year.
Ouchie.
Unbelievable.
Also, a little shout out to the Manly Seagulls content team. I thought that clip of Jake Jovanovic was all time.
It's one of the greatest rugby league clips I've ever seen.
That was
one of the greatest rugby league clips of all time. So, yeah, really good stuff. And I love the dog in Brooksy. Gets hammered by Madison.
Yep.
And then says, oh, no, mate, look, I might be a little fella, but I'm going to pick you up through the middle, drive you back, get you on your back.
Former teammates too.
Yeah, oh, I like that. Like that. So, yeah, look, great stuff for Manly. Plenty to build on. Bit of a foundation. Yeah. Oh, yeah, so that's what happened, actually. So, yeah, Madison jams Brooks. Got in here in my notes, guys. Madison jams Brooks, and we're talking into the nether realms kind of stuff.
One of the all-time jams. Space Jam.
And then Brooks then shots Madison, and a few minutes later has a great try assist. Like, that's a part of his game that I think has really developed, especially this year, of just staying in it. I think, like, Brooks has had a tendency to kind of, like, fade in and out of games, whereas now he is in it 80 minutes. Really, really good stuff. Love that from Brooksy.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.